This is the WRIF Post Game Podcast. You're listening to The Squad with Ann Erickson.
That was ugly. That was a bloodbath. I don't know. I mean, that was painful to watch, and it's got me all confused. It's messing with my head. The Lions' performance yesterday has me wondering, Dan Campbell, is this it? Will this be the final year for Dan? Which I know sounds a little bit kind of sudden. Maybe it's only his second year with the team, but is he really up to the task of being an NFL head coach? What's going on? I mean, and our offense was apparently the number one best in the NFL. Our defense, the number one worst. But, and now after that performance yesterday, I just don't know what to think about that. Definitely an off day for Jared Goff. Our defense has always been bad, but that was just, wow. I don't want to be a downer. Don't want to bring it down. We still have a great offense. They just did have an off day. And I do think that we've got a core of players, especially in the offense, but even Hutchinson in the defense, a core of players that we can build the team around for years to come if they have the right support and the right coaching. That's a huge thing. I mean, look at the Vikings. They're doing way better than anyone ever imagined this season. And it's got to be the new coaching, right? I don't know. I don't want to kick anyone while they're down. Don't want to say anything bad about Dan Campbell because I really like him. I think he's great. I just don't know if now is the right time for him to be an NFL head coach. Dan Erickson on the squad. It is great to hang out with you and got a great guest. As always, always have great guests. Brad Behrman from Sideline Report, which is part of the Fansided Network. Great dude. He just has a new article up about the future of Dan Campbell. We're going to talk about that, Jared Goff, and much more. Let's do it.
This is Brad Behrman from Fansided Sideline Report, and I'm riffing on the riff.
Wow. I mean, what a blowout. Let's talk about expectations for the Patriots game versus what actually happened.
Well, facing a third-string rookie quarterback in his first start, it was a winnable game. Seemed like it was a winnable game. But that didn't turn out that way, obviously. They couldn't get anything going offensively. Dan Campbell kept going for it on fourth down when he maybe didn't need to. And the defense couldn't stop the run. And it was just went off the rails rather quickly.
I was thinking with that third string quarterback and rookie, like you mentioned, that if there were any road games we were possibly going to win, this could be one. But it was such a blowout. And I think that everyone was surprised because the Lions supposedly have a pretty good offense this year, and what happened?
I don't know. I mean, Jared Goff has some rough history against Bill Belichick, obviously from the Super Bowl with the Rams a few years ago. They found the formula to shut down that offense. I don't know if that was in Goff's head, because he seemed like he was just off all game. You know, he was getting pressured and wasn't making the right decisions, and it was just, they couldn't get a lot of running game going, or they didn't stay with it. When they did get it going, it just kind of snowballed. And again, they keep going forward on fourth down, especially that early one when it was 6-0. And the worst case scenario is you probably miss a field goal and it's 6-0. Well, the worst case scenario happens, you get a sack, fumble for a touchdown, it's 13-0, and you never recover.
Yeah, I know. I was wondering about Jared Goff. What are your thoughts on him? Because he's been pretty good this year. I personally think a lot better than last year, except for this game, of course.
Yeah, exactly. He's been playing well. It seems like he and Ben Johnson have a better connection than he and Anthony Lynn did. You know, it seems like they are, you know, Ben Johnson was open about saying, and we want to find out, you know, figure out what he does well, what he's comfortable with, and use that stuff. Seems like they've been doing that. In this game, I don't know what it was, but, I mean, he was bound to not keep playing as well as he was, you know, leading the league in touchdown passes and all that kind of stuff. But this was a hit-the-wall moment that has to be the low point of the season for him, you would think.
We would hope, at least. Fingers crossed. There's been a lot of talk about the defense on the Lions team. I mean, I think this past game yesterday, the offense was kind of the focal point for a lot of people because we were expecting so much more. But what are your thoughts on the Lions defense and how we can turn it around? Because it is so bad this year.
Well, I think it starts with the personnel. They don't have a lot of depth. depth. You know, they made some changes with the secondary yesterday, and then Savion Smith gets hurt right away, and there seems like about every defensive back they had play had some kind of an injury at some point. You know, so you get you're already thin, and you get thinner in certain spots. So it's a personnel thing. I do think Aaron Glenn, the coordinator, has some work to do himself in terms of how he schemes stuff and how he adjusts in certain situations, but he's got to work with what he has too. So it's a, you know, chicken or the egg scenario in some ways. You know, is it the players or is it the coaching?
Yeah, I was actually reading one of your articles, Lions head coach Dan Campbell moving quickly toward the hot seat. And I want to talk about that because there's are different thoughts out there about Dan. A lot of people fell in love with him on the HBO show Hard Knocks because he has such a cool personality, is very likable. But when it comes down to it, is he really up to the task of being an NFL coach?
Yeah, that's what I wonder. I mean, like you said, he's easy to root for. He's very likable, very quotable. But it comes down to, you know, some of his in-game strategy. It's like, I think it was a writer from The Athletic tweeted it yesterday during the game. It's like they're in a almost like a panic mode at times. And that is as a reflection on him in terms of, you know, going forward on fourth down over and over and over again. Or against the Vikings, it was you're aggressive up to that point, and then there's a moment where you could have literally won the game. And he didn't go for it. They tie a field goal, miss it. The Vikings get, you know, two big plays to score a touchdown and win the game. So there's a balance there of you're aggressive in the right moments. And he doesn't seem to quite have that yet. You know, part of that comes from experience. You know, it's only second year as a head coach. He's the intern for the Dolphins that 1 year, but second, he was a full-time head coach. There's certainly some adjustment and experience level there that he needs to gain. But it's becoming where the equity that he has in being likable and being quotable and being easy to root for is starting to fade a little bit.
I totally agree. Do you think that the Ford family would make any changes after this season if it's bad enough, or do you think that he's got another good year ahead?
I think they could. If it's bad enough, you know, if it's 3, 4, 5 wins, I mean, it could be, that'd be a low point. You know, if it's like, say it's 5-12, they have to think about it.
Is there anyone out there off the top of your head who you think might be able to step in as head coach eventually and do something? I mean, it's hard because obviously the good coaches are pretty comfy where they are, but I'm wondering if there's anyone on your radar.
It's funny you say that, because I'm working on something today. Candidates that could possibly replace him if they do move to fire him. Internally, there's Deuce Staley, the assistant head coach, running backs coach. Now, it would be weird to hire somebody from a fired coach's staff, but it does. It hasn't happened often, but it does happen. Another one that could be on the radar on the college level would be Matt Campbell, the Iowa State head coach, who they apparently, of course, I think that report was recently that they made him a big contract offer before they hired Dan Campbell.
Oh, wow.
So maybe circle back to him. Another one I'm thinking of, DeMeco Ryans, the 49ers defensive coordinator, is on the rise, considered top candidate for this next hiring cycle. He's obviously a defensive guy that could be helpful to them in that way. Another one I like, too, is Brian Flores, the former Dolphins head coach, current Steelers linebackers coach. You know, he was fired by the Dolphins for not, you know, tanking properly, apparently, and he's got some litigation against the league about that. That shouldn't affect his candidacy if somebody wants to hire him, but he could be, as a defensive-oriented guy, could be a candidate for the Lions as well, if they go that direction.
I feel like if they do, we really need someone with experience, someone with a name like the guys you're mentioning, not someone who's kind of out of the blue. Oh, who's this guy? Okay, he seems okay.
And I do think when they hired Campbell, it was, you know, who wants to take on the mess Matt Patricia left behind?
Right.
Who can we get to take this on?
I know I saw some memes yesterday of Matt Patricia, you know, at the game and going, oh, do you miss him as a coach? And I'm thinking, not really.
Yeah, not really, exactly.
So what are your thoughts on Hutchinson? And I know our defense is very weak, but what do you think he brings to the table for not just this season, but going forward?
I think he could be a leader on and off the field. He seems like he's kind of wired that way. Obviously, the production hasn't quite been there yet this year, other than that game against Washington. But but it's early yet. He's, you know, getting experience, so he's not going to be a, everybody wants him to be a star right away, and he just hasn't quite been. Whether that's what's going on around him or some adjustments he has to make in terms of, seems like he always, it's a little bit too aggressive coming after the quarterback, you know, runs by, you know, he ran by Jalen Hurts, you know, a bunch of times in that game week one. He needs to maybe, you know, tone down his motor a little bit, and you know, that'll be, that comes with experience too, you know, recognizing things and knowing when to take, you know, put the brakes on a little bit and make a play rather than overrun it. I do think he's a building block for the future. Everybody wants to maybe label him a quick bust right now and say he wasn't worth the second overall pick. But I think it's a long way to go before he gets there, and he could be a future, or he should be a future building block for him.
I totally agree. I think he was a great pick personally, and I think that he's done really well this year with not much around him to help.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I think Charles Harris missed yesterday's game. You know, the interior line's not been that great. Again, he's got a lot of double teams, so he's already getting attention from opposing offenses saying, we need to take care of this guy. He can't hurt us. The rest of them can, but he can't hurt us.
You know, it's funny. I feel like going into this season, I had some questions about Jared Goff, but I did not about Dan Campbell. I thought, okay, I think he'll be good for the next few years, give him more chances. I think Dan, you know, I like the guy, blah, blah, blah. And Jared Goff, I was like, I don't know if this is the guy for a quarterback. And I feel like that's almost flipped. What are your thoughts on Jared Goff right now and his promise with the Lions for another season?
I think, if I remember correctly, they could part ways with him pretty easily in terms of, like, dead money for next year if they want to go another direction. But the idea is, what are you going to replace him with, I guess? I mean, if they draft somebody,
right?
You know, they have two first-round picks again, if they can make a move there. But in terms of, like, a veteran that maybe, you know, fills the gap for a year, who do you replace him with? It would be the big question mark there. And if this coaching staff remains in place, they're probably just going to probably roll them again next year, at least going into next year. But you know, beyond that, he's probably not going to be around. But he might get one more year with the Lions before he's gone.
That's a good point. I mean, who is out there? I know that this year there weren't that many great picks, but even next year, it's like, who could we get that would be better than him? I can't think of anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's the top end guys. But of course, at the beginning of the season, I was like, well, I think you even have a chance to take, you know, like the CJ Stroud or Bryce Young. I think they have a high enough pick of their own to be able to even get one of those guys. Now it's looking a little bit different, a little bit, you know, the prospect of that might be looking a little bit better than they were, you know, a month ago. But they have the Rams pick, which is looking better, you know, every day, it seems. But, you know, maybe they can make a move with the two of those picks and trade up or something. But, yeah, in terms of the veteran presence, you know, as a backup option, you know, what's out there? Because, you know, good quarterbacks aren't really available. In terms of veteran quarterbacks aren't rarely available usually. So.
Right. Yeah, no, I was kind of in my head laughing, thinking, all right, what if we got a veteran somehow? What if we got Tom Brady or, you know, an Aaron Rodgers or something? Like, really test their athleticism. Can you help the Lions? Because that is the real test.
Yeah, exactly.
What other NFL teams do you think that we should have our eyes on this year?
Seems like the Dallas Cowboys have something going. You know, without Dak Prescott, they have something going, but their defense is so good. The Vikings and the AFC North are 4-1 somehow. They seem to make it interesting every week, but they're doing pretty well. The Eagles is the last undefeated team. You know, the Lions give them a test in week one, which looked pretty good at that point. Lions looked pretty good at that point, given them the test they did. But the Eagles look pretty strong all the way around. Jalen Hurts has become probably better than people thought he would. The Buccaneers, you know, I mean, they're on a thin line, it seems like, some weeks. But as long as Tom Brady's a quarterback, they have high expectations. It should be good.
Do you have any early picks for the Super Bowl?
Well, let's see. Think here. I will say out of the AFC, Buffalo is the easy one. I'm going to say Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And out of the NFC, I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Yeah, a lot of people are going with the Eagles, it seems.
The NFC is notably, everybody's saying, it's notably thinner than the AFC is. Mm-hmm. Which is part of the reason Brady probably came back, knowing he could still at a high level, and getting a revenge on himself. But yeah, I think the Eagles, I mean, it's always weird, you know, the teams that are really good, you know, at this point in the season, you know, things change so quickly as the season gets along, but they're looking really good. You know, they've been tested. Now everybody's calling that game in Arizona possibly a trap game for them because the Cardinals have had their struggles and they, I mean, hung on to win, but they won. Right. Never apologize for winning.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Then we've got a bye week on the way in on the 23rd of October. The Lions up against the Cowboys. How bad is this going to be? We're not home either.
Oh, that might get ugly. I guess it kind of depends on what the Cowboys are going to start Dak Prescott if he's healthy. There's no denying that. You know, the quarterback controversy, you know, Cooper Rush is going back to the bench when Dak is healthy enough to play, but it's going to be down in Dallas. It might be pretty ugly, but we'll see. The Lions have a bye week to get guys healthy here, hopefully, and sort of regroup and reassess and come up with some kind of answers.
Oh, man, I know I'm not looking forward to that game for sure. Well, tell me, you know, how can people find you online and read your great stuff?
You can find me on Twitter at Brad Berman, B-E-R-R-E-M-A-N, 24. Follow us at Sidelion, LIONReport.com, and on Twitter at SidelionReport.
Well, Brad, it's been awesome talking with you, and I'm going to have you back later in the season, so I look forward to that. Is there anything else you want to add?
Nope, that was it. Thanks for having me.
Brad, thanks for being a great guest on the squad with me and Erickson. And yeah, he's going to be back later in the season. Looking forward to that. Wow. I mean, that was cool just talking about what is going on with the Lions, because that game was a bloodbath yesterday. Just kind of want to block it out. But we've got a bye week, and then we have that game up against the Dallas Cowboys, an away game. That is going to get ugly. Hopefully not, but I have that bad sinking feeling in my gut that it's going to be an ugly game. Brad, again, thanks for being a guest. And hey, thanks to you for rocking out with me right here on the Riff, on the squad. If you don't subscribe to the podcast yet, please do it. Just search Ann Erickson, the squad, wherever you rock out to podcast. Hit subscribe and it's that easy. And finally, if you want to follow me on social media, I would love to hear from you. You can find me on Twitter and Snapchat at Ann Erickson, Instagram and TikTok at Erickson Ann. Don't worry, we will actually be back next week with a college football special because it is the bye week. I'm going to have Chris Solari from the Detroit Free Press on, one of my very good friends and former coworkers. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, have a great week. And as much as it pains me to say it, go Lions.